All right, I'm on, but I don't know how long I'm going to stay on, guys. So, I didn't do anything in between announcements. I just sang with all of you. That's all I did. By the way, thank you for worshiping and praising the name of the Lord our God. It was great to hear. And if you really want to experience that, the front two rows are usually empty, and you can experience that and sit all. Even Rob's laughing. He sits in the third row, so you need to move up next week, Rob. But we're glad you're here. We're glad you're joining us. We are in a series for the summer called The Summer of One Anothering. We've been looking at some of the one another passages in the New Testament. Not all of them. There are just too many to do. But we are looking at it in light of one anothering is all about how we treat others. So that's the focus. And this morning we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 for our one another. I invite you to find that place in your copy of God's Word, electronic, paper, whichever you prefer. If you don't happen to have a copy with you, under one of the chairs in front of you, you'll find a brown covered book. Ephesians chapter 4 is on page 744. And towards the end of the message, we're going to spend a little bit of time in Colossians chapter 3. So if you want to put your finger there, put a bookmark there, a bulletin there, that's page 749 in the pew or chair Bible. We don't have pews. We got rid of them a long time ago. Anyway. So in our series, we've looked at some of the passages like love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, do not retaliate against one another. And I want to confess that I have a hard time with that one right now, because if you were here last week, you saw the present that I was given, and someone has confessed, and I'm debating as to how to retaliate. I mean, no, I'm trying not to retaliate, but I do want to get even, not mean or nasty, just, you know, give them a return favor. If you, well, I'm not taking revenge. I'm just returning the favor. So, and the guys in the back in the sound room have that cut out, and they were told not to put it up while I preach because it will be distracting. So you guys remember that's a no-no. They wanted to put it in the baptistry and raise it at points. I said no to that either. But we also looked at forgiving one another, not just retaliating, not retaliating, but forgiving one another. But also last week we looked at being humble. Being humble. Did we admit that in our lives we have plenty of our own pride? We talked about other people's pride, yes, but we all have our own pride, and that produces a lot of sin. And the reason it produces sin is because when we are proud, we don't simply follow in the footsteps of the devil. We are exactly like him. We are doing what he did. Did we also wrestle with and consider not what God thinks of pride in a theoretical or biblical sense, but what God thinks of our own personal pride? When we seek our kingdom, not his kingdom, when we do that, when we allow pride to take root, it produces a lot of sins, and we looked specifically at the fact that it produces worry and anxiety last week. And we close the message by talking about putting on humility rather than putting on pride, and that we were to be like our toes. Now, if you weren't here last week, that comes from a quote. I encourage you to go back and listen to that and see how that fits into pride and humility. So how did it go this week, putting on humility rather than pride? So that catches you up if you don't know where we've been or if you're visiting. And this morning, we're going to talk about, from Ephesians chapter 4, an idea that is very common in our world today, and that is the idea of tolerance or tolerating. As you think about that word, I want you to think back and say, where is the last time or when is the last time I heard the word tolerate or tolerance? Okay? Now, when was the last time not only that you heard it, but it was directed to you? Maybe you were told you need to be more tolerant, or you were being intolerant. Now think about last time you heard it, last time it was directed at you, and then why? Why were you told maybe you need to be more tolerant, or you need to be less intolerant? Maybe it's because you took the opportunity to express a political opinion or support for a candidate or an idea. Maybe you expressed support or agreement with a Supreme Court decision. Or maybe you spoke up for morality, right and wrong. What God says is right. Maybe it's when you didn't enthusiastically embrace the latest social or social justice, I was going to say riot, but that's wrong. I'm sorry, I should not say that. Social justice protest, that's the word I'm looking for. The lifestyle, maybe you didn't support someone's lifestyle, their choices, as a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, a relative. Tolerance and intolerance are a huge part of our society today. And there are things, I want to be clear, there are things that we absolutely should not ever tolerate. Here are some examples. Physical or sexual abuse, we should never tolerate them. Devaluing of any person or any life at any point in their life, those are things that we should not do. But being tolerant today or intolerant has a totally different meaning. It means I am to accept anyone and everyone's view, opinions, ideas, beliefs, and say they're all equal, they're all valid, they all are acceptable. That's what it means. It means all people, all lifestyles, all choices, all opinions, all views, all ideas are not only to be accepted, but they're supposed to be embraced completely, fully, without reservation or any hint of question or disagreement. And if we do not meet these expectations, if I don't do that, if I don't validate everyone and their ideas, then I am an intolerant person. Now, that means that our society views tolerance as the greatest character quality or trait you can have. It is the greatest compliment to say you are tolerant. It is the greatest insult to say you are intolerant. You are bigoted. You are not tolerant. You are discriminating against someone. But that's not what tolerant means. Being tolerant actually means this. If you look it up in the dictionary, your preference, Merriam-Webster, Google, whatever, you're going to find this definition. Being willing to accept behavior and beliefs that are different from yours, even if you might not agree with or approve of them. That means being tolerant means I can disagree with someone, their lifestyle, their choices, their opinions, but still not be disagreeable. I can disagree with and share my opinion, God's truth, God's word, but do it with gentleness and respect. As Tim Keller says, tolerance is about how your beliefs lead you to treat people who you disagree with. Now, the Bible talks about how we deal with and interact with people who disagree with us, who might even consider us enemies. But in those contexts, it doesn't use the word tolerance or tolerate. It doesn't even have the idea. It says we're supposed to love them and serve them. But the Bible does actually use the word tolerance. It talks about that. And it talks about in the context of Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3, where we're going to be this morning. So if you're not there, join me in Ephesians 4. We're going to read the first six verses and then talk about it. Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now you're going to say, Pastor Brian, I did not see the word tolerate or tolerance in there. You did not. I'm reading from the New King James, and in verse 2, it translated bearing with one another. Some of your translations may say tolerate. Some of your translations may say put up with. It has the idea of enduring something unpleasant or difficult, whether on one's own behalf or on behalf of someone else. And the same word is found in Colossians 3, where we'll be in just a few moments. But now, before we look at what Paul has to say in Ephesians 4 and our text this morning about being tolerant, we're going to go back all the way to the beginning of Ephesians 1, the beginning of the book. No, we're not going to cover everything. Don't be panicking. That's not how I operate. But we're going to just look at the fact that he opens this letter that he wrote to the church in Ephesus by saying, He, talking about God, chose us in him, talking about Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, if you've been around church for any length of time, you may have heard these verses in context of God chose us to be saved. He chose us before he created anything. There was nothing, and God had already planned he was going to save us. And that is absolutely correct. But it goes beyond that. It reveals the character and nature of God in relation to his sovereignty, his plan, and what he is going to do. Because that means if he chose us to be saved way back before he created anything, he chose that we were going to live in the 20th and 21st century, that we were going to live in the United States of America, that we were going to live in New York, that we were going to, most of us, live somewhere near Newfield, New York, that we were going to be part of a particular family. You're not part of my family, you're part of your family. You were born into that family. God chose that in addition to everything else. But then Paul goes on to say, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, he uses these metaphors. We are one group, one new man, one body, we are fellow citizens, and we are one temple of God. We are the dwelling place of God. So not only did God choose all of what we just said, God intentionally chose to save us, to put us here, and then to put us in this church. Those of you that are regular members and attenders, he chose to put you here intentionally. He didn't choose to put you in a church in Kalamazoo, Michigan, or Sacramento, California. He chose to put you in this church here intentionally. So since we have been chosen by God to be here, and there are others that will come and join us in the future next year or the year after that, whatever, God has chosen to put them here. We're going to have to learn to tolerate one another in amongst all the one another's we've had. So we're going to look at five ways this morning to grow or to help us tolerate one another. Now, before I do, I want to make one clear statement here. Biblical tolerance, tolerating one another, does not mean that we celebrate or validate sin inside or outside the church. Okay? Tolerance, tolerating one another, does not mean we celebrate or validate sin inside or outside the church. That's not what we're talking about. I want to make that very clear before we get into this. It does not mean I agree with everyone when they choose to sin, to live a sinful lifestyle, or to support sinful choices. Here's what it does mean. Tolerating one another is a way that I walk worthy, that I walk worthy. Go back to verses 1 and 2 that we read earlier. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another, tolerating one another in love. Tolerating one another, bearing with one another, is a way I walk worthy. It means people look at me and say, you're a Christian. You say you're a Christian. Do you do this? Do you live like a Christian? We just saw that tolerating and bearing with one another can also be translated as enduring one another. And interestingly, it comes after Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. We just saw all those pictures of as a unified body. Tolerating one another, part of living like a Christian, is part of how we promote unity. We can preserve unity, bearing with one another and desiring, what does Paul say in verse 3? Look back at there. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're striving to be one body, to be unified, to be at peace. We are endeavoring to do that. All right, so if you hear the word endeavoring, this is kind of what I think of. It takes effort. You've got to work at it. It's hard. It is not easy. That is the picture. It also means it goes back to what we have talked about repeatedly in this series. This is not natural. I don't like to put up with you, and you don't like to put up with me. We like to do what we want to do. But it's supernatural. It is a demonstration that we are different. We are changed by the Word of God and by our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is an evidence of salvation. God working in our lives, and we're obeying Him. So are we endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Are we endeavoring to tolerate, to bear with one another? Tolerating one another is also to be done in love. We just read that. Bearing with one another in love. Now, when I hear the word enduring, I already told you what I pictured and what I think about. Now, when I hear the word bearing with, when I hear tolerating one another, I hear grit my teeth and bear it. Just get me through it so I can get on to something I like to do that I want to do. I go back to when I was a kid, and I would come to the table, and what was for dinner? Things I didn't enjoy. Things like lima beans. Things like cooked peas. Things like meatloaf. Now, I know some of you love meatloaf. I want you to understand that Andrea and I put in our wedding vows that there will be no meatloaf in our house ever. Neither one of us enjoy it. Okay? That's where it's at. Maybe it's not those things. Maybe there's other things for you. Or you can think about getting a shot, getting blood taken, or giving blood, swallowing a cupful of nasty-tasting medicine. Or the ultimate, and I don't know how if you've ever experienced this, but I know I'm expecting some of you have, putting mercurochrome on your skin, knee, or your cut. And some of you kids are going, I have no idea what that is. Ask your parents or your grandparents. It is like putting liquid fire on your body, okay? This is like a little glimpse of what hell must be like because it just burns. It will clean it up. It will prevent infection, but it hurts. And you've got to grit your teeth and bear it. I was going to suggest maybe you should go home and ask your parents to put it on you, but maybe not. It's not that fun. This is not what Paul has in mind. This is not what he's describing. It is not what he wants from us. Tolerating one another. That Paul's not just saying grin and bear it and get through it, suck it up and deal with it. Here's one of the reasons I believe Paul says is not saying that. Because what happens is it quickly becomes not grin and bear it or get through it, it's grin and avoid it. If those people that I can't tolerate, I'm going to just avoid. Not just tolerate, I'm going to avoid them. If they're going to be serving in that ministry, I won't be. If they're going to be at that event or activity, I won't be. I'm not just going to tolerate, I'm going to avoid. And then I'm going to avoid others who seem to get along with them because they must be just like them and I can't stand them. I can't tolerate them. Sadly, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. It moves from, I'm not going to be there, or I'm not going to tolerate them. I'm going to avoid them. I'm going to avoid other people. And then I'm just going to avoid serving. I'm going to avoid worshiping. I'm going to avoid Bible study, small group, Awana, Sunday school. And then finally, it's just too much hassle. I'm just going to avoid church altogether. So that's the process. That's not what tolerating is, but that's where it can lead if we do not handle it correctly. Are we avoiding, not tolerating? Are we avoiding instead? If you look at your attendance patterns, if you look at your serving patterns, can you see this drift away? Well, I'm going to avoid them. I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to avoid that. And ultimately, I'm just about going to say, I'm going to avoid church altogether. I don't want anything to do with it. It's too much hassle. Are we tolerating or are we avoiding? Tolerating one another is about not focusing on differences, on our differences. When I say differences, there's a lot of things that may come into your mind. So here's an example of what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about the fact that I like chocolate peanut butter ice cream and you like mint chocolate chip ice cream. Okay, I'm not. First of all, you're wrong because mint is only designed for toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, those kind of, it is not on a dessert. You guys are just weird. I'm just saying. Okay, but that's not what I'm talking about. You're still weird, but that's not what I'm talking about. Or I like the Yankees and you like the Mets. Or God forbid you like the Red Sox, okay? I lived in Maine for 3 years. I put up with that. I don't want to put up with it anymore. I like blue. You like red. Yellow, green, whatever it is. Some of you have an affinity for a particular car manufacturer. You will only buy Ford. You will only buy Dodge or Chevy, whatever it is. I buy a car that I can afford. I don't have that luxury. But you guys can have that preference. Now, we laugh, right? We laugh about these things because we actually handle them quite well. We can joke about, well, you like Ford and it means found on road dead, all those kind of things. You know, we can joke about that. We handle those differences quite well. But that's not what I'm talking about. That's not what Paul's talking about. The differences I'm talking about are more personal. Things like, I am always on time or early, and you may be always late, or vice versa. Or the fact that you're very organized and I'm disorganized, and that causes a conflict. Those kind of things. It could also include personality, style, character, temperament, things that make us who we are. I could go on, but you might be thinking, well, this isn't just in church, and you would be absolutely right. It can happen between spouses, between parents and children, between boss and employee, student and teacher, between coach and athlete. Most often, the things we don't tolerate, or we need to tolerate but don't, are things like that. And they're not even serious things. We're not talking in a church about, well, this is a biblical moral issue. I have a different theology than you. I have a different interpretation of the Bible than you. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about who a person is, how God created them, the characteristics he gave them, basically how they are different than us. And sometimes we think of and use terms like idiosyncrasies, things like quirks, and we focus on and elevate those differences. The person, let's talk about the person in Sunday school and Bible study who talks too much, answers every question, or maybe asks all the questions. That can be a frustration. We talked about the person who's late. They always come late to everything. And I know that we shouldn't use 100% words. Almost always come late. And you're always early, and you're wondering, when are they going to show up? They're supposed to be here. Or the person who says, I'm going to come serve. They show up and they stand around and watch. The person who says, I'm going to come serve, but then never shows up. The person who says, I'm going to come serve, but then shows up and disappears. We don't know where they are. Or the person who says, I'm going to serve, and then it's a Saturday event or a Sunday event, and they call you the night before and say, I'm not coming. And you're saying, well, now I'm scrambling to fill that spot. When I notice those differences, that's normal. But when I see it and say, they're wrong and I'm right, the differences are bad, that means I'm the standard. Everyone should be like me. Everyone should be late, or everyone should be on time. Everyone should be disorganized, or everyone should be organized. When I do that, I put on my pride and say, I am better than them. Not the humility we talked about last week about putting that on, but putting on my pride. And I begin to think, not only am I better than you, I dare say it, I'm more important than you. I'm more important to what goes on in a church than you. Differences are not supposed to work that way. They are to be reminders. They are to be reminders that God has intentionally made us different and intentionally put us together as a church. Intentionally, God's choice, not mine. And we are supposed to build unity. Look at verses 3 through 6. Paul emphasizes, after saying, bear with one another, verses 3 through 6, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see and hear the all and the one, the unity that's supposed to be happened. Paul says, bear with one another. Don't focus on the differences. Focus on growing in unity. Learn from each other. Grow together. That's a reminder. It's a reminder to me that I should not look at the differences between you and I and say, I don't have anything to learn from you. You have everything to learn from me. You have a lot to learn from me. A lot. I mean a lot. That's not what we're supposed to do. We can learn from each other. Some of us have a hard time in learning from one another, but we need to grow in that. When I do not tolerate others, I think I don't have anything to learn from them, but they have everything to learn from me. It's a reminder that I am to look at other people and ask the question, what do I need to learn? What is God trying to teach me? How am I supposed to grow? Do I need to grow in humility? Do I need to grow in tolerating? Do I need to grow in that moment and say, God, help me change to please you in this moment in interacting with that person? Not, they need to change to please me. They need to change to make my life better. I need to change to honor God. Tolerating one another is a two-way street. Two-way street. Bearing with one another in love. This command isn't, pastors, bear with your congregation. Congregation, bear with your pastors. It's not just given to me. Bear with one another. Everyone is supposed to do this. That means I bear with you and you bear with me. But usually it's I bear with you. That's all I think about. And there are some of us that need to come to the point and realize, yes, there are people that have to bear with me. And you might be shocked at that at this moment. What do you mean, bear? I am wonderful. Why would you have to bear with me? You can't be serious that people actually have to bear with me. I'm the one that's doing that. Why would they have to bear with me? I am amazing. I am awesome. If everyone just was like me, no one would have to bear with anyone. We need to come to the realization that we have to bear with others, absolutely. But they're doing the same to us. They bear with us. We are not the perfect person. Not only am I given this command, and you are given this command, you and I need to tolerate one another. But just like forgiveness, we looked at forgiveness and said, we forgive because we've been forgiven. Paul says this in Romans. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Now, it's not bear with, but it's the same idea. I'm supposed to accept you because I've been accepted. That's my motivation. Not because I have to, because I have been treated that way by God. I want to treat you the same way. Do I view myself as the only one who has to tolerate someone else? That's a very easy place to be. I do it often. Am I the only one that has to do that? That's how I think. No one would have any reason to tolerate me, but I have to tolerate everyone else. Like grace, like forgiveness. Do we recognize that we have been given much? We have been given grace, we have been forgiven, so we give grace in return, we forgive in return. We have been accepted, so we accept and tolerate. Tolerating one another is an opportunity for my growth. An opportunity for my growth. The first opportunity it gives you is a growth in prayer. A growth in prayer. We've talked about Ephesians 1 through 3 a bunch. And if you've been around church for a while, you may have heard them described. The first three chapters of Ephesians are the gospel indicatives, meaning there's gospel theology, there's gospel truth. And then 4 through 6 is gospel imperatives, meaning this is what you're supposed to do in light of the theology, the truth that you've heard. And that is absolutely a correct way to look at the book of Ephesians. But interestingly, I came across an observation this week that chapters 1, 2, and 3, all that truth, all those gospel indicatives, almost 50% are contained in prayer, different prayers that Paul gave. And I'm going to read you one that comes just before chapter 3. So you can listen or just look up into the next, look up above chapter 4. And Paul begins in verse 14 of Ephesians 3 by saying, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom is the whole family in heaven and earth named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works to him, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. When we are tempted to be intolerant, not to give grace, not to be accepting, not to be humble, it is an opportunity for us to grow in prayer. Not God change them so they're not so frustrating. God change them so they're not so much of an annoyance and problem in my life. That's not the prayer we're talking about. God change me. God change me. What did Paul ask for? Lord, strengthen me with might in the inner man. Lord, help Christ dwell in my heart through faith. Help me be rooted and grounded in love, that I might respond that way, that I might respond in love towards them, not in frustration, that I might be humble towards them. God, help me learn what I'm supposed to learn. Lord, give me a glimpse into why you put them as part of our body and why I'm supposed to be unified. Lord, help me glorify you in this moment, interacting with that person and how I treat, talk about, think about that person. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. But it's also growth, not just in prayer, but in sanctification. You may be familiar with Romans 8, 28 and 29. Paul writes this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Now, we like that. When we're in a trial, when we're having a hard time, God's going to use this for good. Now, we define good often not how God does. We define it good our way. God specifically says through Paul, here's the good, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the good. The differences between you and I, the things that may annoy you about me, that frustrate you about me, or that frustrate me about you, those differences, the things I'm supposed to tolerate, they fall under the umbrella of all things. God is going to use them for our good, to change us more and make us more like Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, I told you to put a bullet in there, put your finger there, we're going to be there in just a moment. The word bear with, tolerate one another is found in that context, in that chapter. But in Ephesians, it's all about unity, unity, unity. That's the context. In Colossians, that's not the context. It's not about unity. It's about spiritual growth, progressive sanctification. So I'm going to turn there and we're going to read starting in verse 9 of chapter 3 of Colossians. Actually, I'm going to bump up one verse and start in verse 8, excuse me. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So we haven't gotten to the verse yet where it says bear with one another, but it's coming in just a moment. But Paul says, this is how you're supposed to live. You're supposed to put off the things how you would naturally treat others that annoy you, that frustrate you. Not tolerating, but anger, wrath, malice, even lying about them, even cursing them, filthy language. And then in verse 12, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Here's our word, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When I am confronted with someone who frustrates me, who is different than me, who I have to tolerate, it's an opportunity for me to say, God, help me put off my natural responses. Help me put on the supernatural ones that God has given me. This list, the idea of bearing with one another isn't found in the fruit of the Spirit, but other ideas that are very similar are. I want to put on, I want to respond in ways that honor God right in that moment and how I treat that person. People and things we tolerate are part of the all things that God uses to help us grow, to be more like our Savior. I'm going to give you some practical examples. Some you're going to laugh at, and some are a little more serious. One of the most important or most significant ways that you can put off, put on, that you can tolerate, one of the most significant places is in your marriage. Okay, here's some things that I've learned to tolerate. Andrea could have a much longer list, but I didn't give her permission to come up here and talk about it. But here's some things that I've learned to tolerate with her. There are way more colors in the world than I ever thought possible, okay? I'm just saying. And this is like, I couldn't even get the whole list on the board, okay? There are not that many colors, honey. I love you, but I tolerate your idea that there are that many colors. And there are colors that my lovely wife says, these two things go together. And I go, yes, dear. Okay, if you say so. But that's not how I think. And guys are going, yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, Pastor Brian. I've also learned that new foods and new dishes and new recipes are worth trying. Don't mess with the old stuff. No, honey. But thanks, guys. All right. My bearing with and my not retaliating is getting lower and lower, guys. I'm just saying. So those are things that I can put on that list. There are others as well. New foods. Snails and squid are worth trying, thanks to my lovely wife, okay? Now, I'm not saying I don't enjoy them, but I would never have tried them without her, okay? Now, we're going to move a little farther beyond fun stuff like colors and foods. I have become a little more flexible in my life. Here is how I believe travel should go. You get in the car with a full tank of gas and you go until the light comes on. You stop for food, bathroom, and gas. You fill up and you go until that happens again, until you get to your destination. I've learned to tolerate my wife's desire to stop more often for different reasons other than food and gas and necessities. Okay? That is something that I have done and tolerate. Thank you, Brian Morgan. You're on my list now as he's coming back in. There are things like that that I have learned to tolerate, and I've become and grown because of them. I've also become a little more patient. I wish I could say I've become a lot more patient, a little more. And sometimes I listen just a little better than I used to. These are things where I've grown because God has helped me grow in tolerating one another. And it has grown beyond just simply tolerating, but changing me and putting off and putting on. Now I'm going to talk about someone other than my wife. I mentioned earlier those who are late constantly. And I am not talking about anyone here. I'm talking about how I have approached them in the past versus how I do now. I managed people. I worked with others long before I became a pastor. And here's what my thoughts were. If you can get here at the same time every day and it's late, why can't you get here on time? Makes sense to me, right? Then I worked and managed people, not just worked with them, but managed them. And there were people that knew that when you punched in at a computer, that if you were at 8:05, your shift started at 8, you're here at 8:05, you're not late, you're here at 8:06. And man, they could manage always to get here at 8:05. That would annoy me to no end. If you can get here consistently at 8:05, get here consistently at 8 o'clock. Okay? Those are things that would annoy me. I grew in that area. But it doesn't just happen in work. It happens in churches. There are people who I have worked with in ministry, served with, worshiped with, who would always be late to an event, to a ministry, to a Bible study, to Sunday school, the church. And I wanted to respond to them like that, but I have grown and said, I need to tolerate them. I need to learn that it's an opportunity for me to grow in how I treat, how I think about others. We can easily see others who are not like us as not as important, and we don't have anything to learn from them. When things are difficult, when things are hard, We actually learn more than when things are easy. Those opportunities when we have a choice to tolerate or be intolerant are opportunities to grow. Is that how we view them? Here's an opportunity for me to put off my natural reaction. Here's an opportunity for me to put on supernatural, respond. I can grow. And not just this moment, but the next time, and the next time, and the next time. It's an opportunity for me to walk worthy, to grow, to take one small step, one more step in my growth to become more like my Savior. Are we going to tolerate one another? See those moments, those interactions as opportunities to grow, to learn, to walk worthy, and that recognize God has intentionally put us together so that I can help them grow and you can help me grow. Are we going to one another, tolerate one another? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the fun this morning, but thank you for the message. The reality that often we are very self-centered, we are very intolerant of others who are not like us. And it comes out in the things we should be putting off. Lord, help us to grow in recognizing the fact that you have chosen all of us to be a part of this church right now, to be serving together, to be worshiping together, to be tolerating one another. Help us to recognize that, yes, we tolerate others, but others tolerate us. We don't often think that way, but it's the truth. We often think it is one-sided. Help us to recognize where we need to grow, where we need to take that one step, the next step in our growth, to put off, to put on, to grow in tolerating one another, and to recognize we have been forgiven, we have been given so much grace and been accepted by you that we need to extend that to others. Lord, this is not natural to us. We are naturally intolerant. We are naturally look down on those who are different than us. Help us to grow in that, specifically in how we interact with those who are part of this body. And then help it to extend beyond just this body to family, friends, co-workers, people we just come in contact with. Help us to treat them right, to interact with them right, even when we disagree, even when we think they're wrong. Help us to do it in endeavoring to keep the unity, unity and peace, bearing with one another in love. We ask that that would be an area we grow in this week and the weeks ahead. We ask this all in your name, in the name of your Son who loved us, who died for us, and because of whom we have been forgiven and have been accepted by you, Jesus. Amen.